Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a fellow who brought a factory to Nicholasville. Big one, in fact, and one of the first. His name was Harry Miller, and he was the owner at that time of Sargent and Greenleaf. We'll talk to his grandson, Mark, about his life and what he brought to our community right after this word from the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things in our county. Back in the 80s, I had the opportunity to work with a lot of people at that time on the Chamber of Commerce and different organizations, and there was this gentleman that I got to know and really thought a lot of that brought a place to our town. In fact, I guess you would consider it maybe one of the first factories, if you will. I don't know if we could say it was a factory or not. But anyway, it was called Sargent and Greenleaf, and his name was Harry Miller. And so we want to do a program about Harry and what he brought to Nicholasville and Jessamine County. With us today is his grandson, Mark, and we are proud to have him and glad you came, Mark.
Good morning, Doug. Glad to be here.
Now, your granddad, I again had the pleasure of knowing and thought a lot of. He was a great guy. He was just a real personable fellow to be around and work with and very knowledgeable. But to start out, why don't we tell maybe a personal side of Harry and where was he born? Where did he come from and how in the world did he make it to Jessamine County?
Okay. Well, thank you. My grandfather was born in the D.C. district area, I believe Fairfax, Virginia. And he grew up with in a manufacturing background. His father worked for a company by the name of Diebold back in the 20s. He was responsible for what we called vault door erection, installing vault doors for banks around the country.
Okay.
He and my great-grandmother.
Are they still in business?
Actually, it's been bought a couple times.
But they still use that name?
No.
But that name is familiar to me.
Yeah, Safe Masters was the name of that company.
Okay.
And it's now owned by Stanley Security.
But I bet there's a lot of bank doors still in use today around
the country. With the Diebold, yes.
With that name.
Yes, Diebold's still in business.
Okay.
The last installation they did was for the National Archives in D.C.
Yeah.
And that's when my family settled in D.C.
Okay.
My grandfather was there. So
now, do you know how he got interested in that line of work at all?
Well, my grandfather was into the mechanical side of the bank locks and vault doors. My grandfather, he really got into it heavy when my grandfather and a couple of his buddies developed or figured out how to manipulate combination locks. Meaning, when you watch TV and see in the movies, when they put their ear up to the safe and they go click, click, click. My grandfather and a couple of his buddies figured out how to do that.
Really?
And so what he did was design a lock that you could not manipulate in that fashion.
And I guess that makes a whole lot of sense. Figure out what a problem is and go the opposite way to make sure that it's not a problem.
And being in D.C., he was working a lot with the government, the Pentagon. And those locks were storing, or securing, I should say, classified material.
Okay.
So my grandfather was able to open the container storing classified material within a matter of minutes, which you have to assume if he could figure it out, so could the bad guys.
Yeah.
So he developed this lock that you could not do that to. And then he started selling it through Sargent and Greenleaf to the government.
Now, that company was already in existence?
Yes, in Rochester, New York.
Okay. And did he work for them?
Well, he licensed them to sell his product.
Okay.
And then they paid him royalties and started paying him stock option with stock.
Okay.
And he ended up basically having controlling interest of the company because they sold so much of it.
Because of that one?
Because of the one design
in
product.
In design.
Yeah. And
amazing.
So he moved to Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
With my dad and grandmother and my dad's brother, Benson. And we were in Rochester manufacturing combination locks, mm-hmm. the largest in the world at that time, until 1973-74, mm-hmm. when we moved here to Nicholsville.
Now, do you know, because I know in 73 or 74
yeah.
that you weren't but probably 9 or 10 years old.
I was actually, unfortunately, a little older, but
I was
13, you know, 12, 13.
Okay.
But anyways, my father was in sales at the time, and a lot of the safe makers actually were in this central area.
Mm-hmm.
Several of them, many are still in Ohio. Diebold, Mosler mm-hmm. was one. Hamilton Safe is still there. Many safe manufacturing mm-hmm. was, for some reason, in that industrial Ohio area. So my dad would drive through from New York into the Northeast, Canton, Ohio, and then come mm-hmm. down and visit, actually, Pinkston's Lock in Lexington was a distributor.
Yeah. yeah.
For Sergeant Greenleaf, and he would see them, and he just really liked the area.
And that was it.
That was the main driving force. They had a really old factory in New York, mm-hmm. and it was time to do something different. And
so the different wasn't just build a new factory. It was go to a whole new state
yes,
and build
yes,
a new factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was just because of his visiting, yeah. and he liked the area, and uh-huh. this was it.
Yes, and I remember well Mayor Shelby Combs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On board at that time,
and
they put together some packages, you know, some incentives to bring the industry here.
And it seems to me that about that time would have been, according to what I remember, about the time that I think Nicholsville formed an industrial board, mm-hmm. if you will, and it probably was for no other reason because of Sergeant Greenleaf.
Well, I think it's Sergeant Greenleaf, and I think there was one other, and I don't remember if... the company over in the other industrial park on the...
Maybe Gulf States?
Yeah, like Gulf States.
Yeah.
Somebody had started something
yeah.
there, and Sergeant Greenleaf was the first in this industrial
yeah.
park.
Now, Sergeant Greenleaf came, and for those people who are newer to our community, and even when I say newer, maybe in the last 20 years newer, if you go down South Main Street and you go past Kroger's and go out there to the left, right next to the Jessamine County Fire Station, there's a road in the Nicholsville Fire Station, I guess.
Yeah, right between
and
the
Delta.
Two.
Delta Gas is out in there, or Suburban Propane. There's a road that goes back, and if you go all the way to the end, you can't help but run right into the building. Is it still called Sergeant Greenleaf?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It is owned by Stanley Security, who has Black & Decker and all those
okay.
big companies.
So he brought this company to Jessamine County, mm-hmm. and did he bring employees with him, or did he start
all over?
There
was probably, I'm trying to go off of memory, I don't know whether it was a dozen or 20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That came along and helped set up the lines. My uncle Jim Taylor came along and really helped set up and build
yeah,
the factory.
Yeah.
But I think at the peak, they were running three shifts in the 70s and 80s, three shifts and, you know, 200, maybe up to 250 employees at
yeah.
that time.
A lot of people
yeah.
in this community has worked
yes.
in that organization. And making locks, I guess.
Yeah. Combination
all
locks.
All kinds?
Combination locks for safes and bank vaults. And, you know, those of you storing guns, it's, you know, the Liberties and cannons and
yeah.
other safes. And then... safe deposit locks, a lot of safe deposit locks for the
really?
You know, for the banks.
People probably would be amazed to know in our community or listening area how many locks that they may even have in their home that they don't even realize was made right here in Jessamine
oh,
County.
Yeah. Jessamine County, Central Kentucky is really the lock industry. It's a lock capital of the world, actually.
Yeah.
Spawning from Sergeant Greenleaf and other companies that have spun from that.
Okay. Well, back to a little bit of the personal mm-hmm. Bit, if you know.
Yeah.
Your granddad, you said, was born around the D.C. area. First, tell us about your grandmother.
My grandmother?
Yes.
She worked at the Pentagon. She was from Alabama, South Alabama.
Yeah.
And they met in the Pentagon. You know, it was a time when people were going to the big cities looking for work.
Right.
And they met there, and a wonderful lady, Grace Tate was her maiden name, and loved her to death. She was a model some. And
really?
Yeah.
And how many children did they have? So we're getting into your dad now.
Yeah. They together had my dad and his brother.
Let's talk about them a little bit. Tell us about Benson. We'll start with him, then we'll go back to your dad.
Benson was the younger of the two and, you know, grew up in the family business. Sergeant mm-hmm. Greenleaf mm-hmm. also went to Ithaca College up in New York
yeah.
when they lived there before
yeah.
coming
yeah.
to Kentucky, and worked with Sergeant Greenleaf, I think, until the time we sold it in the early 80s, 81. Went to work and spun off a couple other businesses with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. One was called Igniter Torch.
I was going to ask you about that because it seems to me like, and I think I even got one of those at my home. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Doesn't it have BENS or BNZ on
Burns,
it?
Yeah.
And when you said Benson.
Yeah, Benson, yeah. Yes. It was, you know, back in the day when we were kids, mm-hmm. if you used the torch for plumbing or industrial work,
right.
and you had to use a little striker to ignite it,
right.
and it wouldn't burn upside down. Well, my grandfather and another buddy of his invented this self-igniting torch, and my Uncle Benson came in and helped start up the company and run it and grow it there in the industrial park, and ended up getting bought out by Burns-O-Matic,
yeah.
who still has it.
Yeah.
And now it's used from everything from torches to vape lighters to all kinds of lighting. It's just, you know, when you click a button and you get a light, that's an ignite. That's from that.
That's
product.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, so he had an older brother. Now, that's your dad.
My dad, Clay, grew up also in the business, started at a young age, and worked through the factory and ended up president as running the company up until the time they sold it in 81. Stayed on board for a year with the new owners and then decided it was something different to do. He bought Lockmasters from my grandfather, which was another company he had started. Mm-hmm. Very mechanically inclined, has developed a product line called... that's sold in Lexington called Cobba Moss Hamilton Products, that secures all the classified material in the country now.
Really?
Yeah, or most of it, I should say.
Wow. Now, so. I have to ask, because I've lost track of them.
Yeah.
Is Benson still living?
Yes, Benson.
And your dad, Clay?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Benson and his son, Chad, own another business in the industrial park called LockNet.
Okay, I was going to get into that because I know some people.
Yeah, they have like 80 employees.
Well, and it's really funny because I have connections to you and your company through my wife's family, and then I have connections to LockNet through my sister-in-law, my brother's widow's husband, his family now. So it's kind of, but it's two different companies.
Yes, it was. We actually started LockNet as a company within Lockmasters and then spun it off. And
okay.
Now my uncle and my cousin Chad own that.
The LockNet.
And his family, yes, own that.
Mm-hmm. And do you own Lockmasters?
I own Lockmasters and Lockmasters Security Institute, the training.
So what is different? But other than the name Net Masters, what do you all do differently?
At Lockmasters, we're a distributor of security products.
Okay.
Mostly for door hardware, a little bit automotive, a lot of high security locks, combination locks, bank vaults.
Mm-hmm.
The government, Army, Navy, Bureau Agency, industrial contractors, Lockheed, Boeing, Raytheon, those are our larger customers and about half of our business. The other half is banking. We deal with bank service, the Diebolds, Bank of America, Chase, BB&T are all customers of ours. And then locksmiths, whether it's Grotz or Pinkston's or Elite Elite Lock and Key in town, servicing and selling them supplies. The other part of our business is education. We have a school that we just finished a new facility, 27,000 square feet in the industrial park. And we bring probably between 800 and 1,000 students from around the world come to our training programs, which are usually 2 weeks to a month. Sometimes students stay 3 months here in town, learning how to do access control installation, how to open cars, how to install safe locks, government security containers. We've had people from, again, it could be from your local mobile locksmith to Facebook to...
Really?
To
all of those.
Yeah, we just had all kinds of, you know.
See, you just don't think about people like that.
No.
You think, well...
Security people really don't think about all the... what goes behind it.
And the lay people like me, you know, I know you have to have a really good lock on the bank vault. And I know the that the Pentagon would have to have one, and Fort Knox, you know, people like that. But you don't think about, you mentioned Facebook, you think about people like that that have secrets, I guess, or things classified, and rather is probably a better word, that they need to secure.
Yeah, not only the material, but also their facility. We have a training program that says what's a proper lighting, fencing, bollards, camera systems, high security locks, badge systems. We have training programs for that.
All right. And that's going well beyond what Harry Miller originally came up with.
I think he'd be real happy.
Oh, yeah,
what,
I believe
what we're
he
doing
would.
Now.
While we were on that family tree, you talk about Clay. Now, tell us about you and your siblings.
I have one younger sister. I say younger, just about a year younger. She got into nursing, she first went to Western and ended up getting married and staying down there with a couple, three children. And she's now living in Chattanooga on the river there, and was into nursing and now has another small business, imprinting and things like that. She really didn't get into the industry, but doing very well down there. And so
it's just you two?
Yeah, just us two.
And I don't want to get you in the doghouse, so let's talk about your wife and your kids.
Well, it's an interesting story. My wife, I met at an industry trade show over 20 years ago, and we ended up getting together and getting married, and she worked for a competitor. For 20 years, we were competitors.
Really?
Yes. If you kind of envision it, I considered her company's in relation to other industries, she's kind of like the Walmart of the industry.
Yeah.
The try to sell everything, the giant in the industry, and we're more specialized, unique.
Okay.
Snap-on kind of people. So she did that, and they got bought out, and she stayed on for 2 years, and she was a national VP and like third in the company there. They got bought out by some $6 billion company, stayed on, and now she's helping me on the side.
Good.
Or helping us.
Yeah.
Doing our thing at Lockmasters. And we have two daughters, 17 and 19. The 19-year-old's finishing up her second semester at Alabama.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a drive, but now we've got basketball and football.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And our youngest is 17, and she is junior in high school. Mm-hmm. In like.
That's great. How many, and we alluded to this earlier, talking about employees. How many employees do you have?
We're right about 50 employees. LockNet's about 80.
So
and growing.
And growing.
Yes.
And, of course, Sergeant Greenleaf is it still called that?
Yes. It's Stanley Sergeant Greenleaf.
But it's still employing a lot
over
of 100, people.
Over 100.
So you think about it, since 1970, what'd you say, 4 or 5, whenever it was, when Harry decided to come to this area, you think about all of those years, you know, 40 years, going on 50 years. Believe that. That's hard to believe.
I know.
But when you think about that, and the fact that over that period of time that these companies have provided people in our community, I'm not talking about 25 people, folks. I'm talking about 200 people.
Yeah, there's other companies that have spun off also.
Yeah, that has given back to this community in all kinds of ways, whether it is tax revenue or buying houses or shopping at our grocery stores or whatever.
Yeah.
Great, significant contribution.
Yeah, the students that come annually, you know, they're staying at the New Comfort Inn down 27 or the Holiday Inn Express or the local bed and breakfast, and they're here for weeks on end, and, you know, not only the travel and the meals. And
sure. And see, I think, Mark, that's something that the normal person, they don't see, and they don't have a reason to see. We all see the impact that a Walmart gives, because you see the cars in the parking lot. You see what you mentioned a hotel or a restaurant.
Yeah.
But what we don't see, because we're not around it, is the impact that places like you, Lockmasters, and places like Sergeant Greenleaf, you mentioned Gulf States, which has changed now, but still, those kind of industries, what impact they've had on our town and have helped us to grow.
Yeah.
And if it had not been for them, we probably would have progressed, but surely not like we have.
Yeah.
So it's been a great thing. When did we lose Harry Sr.? Do you remember the year he
died? Mid to early 90s.
I remember, remember the exact, but I remember when it happened. And you were talking about he would be pretty proud. What do you think he would say? If you could bring him back on a couple of fronts here, let me ask you. If you could bring him back now for an hour. What do you think he would say, not only about what has happened in your industry and your companies, but just our county in general? Lots changed.
Oh, yeah. I remember the, or was it Lakeside Motel and the McDonald's and the Burger Queen down at the end of town. And, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken on the South End was his favorite restaurant.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah. That was his favorite place to go on Sundays. But, you know, I think he would just be amazed with the Jessamine County and the progress and the growth, especially with our industry and all the things we're into now. You know, I think with our business side, he would, you know, just be amazed, actually, because it's blossomed into so much.
Right.
And other companies have spun off, even ones we haven't talked about, that my dad has started and has on going other places. So.
Do you know, and this leads into how proud he would be, do you know when he and those buddies figured out how to break that lock, was it, were they purposely trying to, or was it just something they figured out? Do you know?
I don't know that. You know, I don't know the exact answer to that question. He serviced and worked on safes and bank vaults and locks for the government in that D.C. area. He was one of the gentlemen that during the war, when we captured an enemy territory, they would send him in behind the lines to open up those containers and to retrieve those, you know, plans and documents so that they had access to figure out what the enemy was doing.
Wow.
So, you know, he was just, I mean, if you ever stop by our facility, our new training center, he has a, I believe it's probably the largest lock, antique lock collection in the world, at least in the U.S.
Right.
Where he's collected and studied and learned from products since the mid-1940s.
Yeah.
We've been working on that.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because, and if you think about it, you know, here's a guy who with a couple of friends figures out, I think we can fix something here to make this better. And to where it's come today, maybe he would have. But most people probably would shake their head in amazement thinking, I never dreamed it would ever get to that.
My uncle and cousin's company, LockNet, they, you know, as a good example to that is they service franchise accounts. So every Starbucks, new Starbucks that's built, their company is supplying hardware and security and keying and taking care of Yum Brands, KFC, Pizza Hut, you know, that chain.
Right.
They're doing, taking care of all the back doors, all the security.
Yeah.
You know, it was the CVS, was the Blockbusters when they were around and all those people. So they service all the franchise accounts nationwide.
Well, that's amazing. And it just, and it all starts right here.
Yeah.
And see, that's what's so cool. In this program that we do, Mark, we have talked to so many people about different subjects and have found out so many interesting things that started right here in Jessamine County that we don't think about.
Right.
And we have no reason to really think about it either. But it's amazing the effect that this company that this gentleman brought to Nicholasville, Kentucky, has been known worldwide in all kinds of venues.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I want to ask you personally about your granddad. If you had to, as a businessman, you had to describe him in a word, what would it be?
Entrepreneur.
Yeah. That's good.
It is. He's an entrepreneur and he loved his trade. I mean, this industry, bank safe vault at the time, was his life. I mean, it truly was.
I mean,
even after retirement and, you know, in his 80s, he would be sitting at the kitchen table, and his kitchen table was his work.
Yeah.
It was loaded with, you know, he had a little clean spot
right.
to eat his meal, but the rest of this big kitchen table, he lived in the paddock.
Yeah, right.
Was you know, and he had stuff all around the room and along the wall, you know, that he just tinkered with, and that's what he loved.
Yeah. How would you describe him in a word as a granddad? That's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's a little different because he really was, you know, really into the work. So I would have to say a great role model, you know, almost to the, and in our industry, he is kind of like the grandfather.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
right.
So,
right.
It, you know, as he was to me personally, but
right.
you know, kind of a really high bar.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I try not to think about that too much and not
yeah.
to have a shadow, but, you know.
But it's hard not to.
Yeah, it's hard not to, but, you know, it was
yeah.
a great role model as someone to aspire to be
mm-hmm.
like and learn from.
You know, and I think you'll appreciate this. When I grew up, I was known as Howard Fain's son for many
right,
years.
Yeah.
And you were known.
S.O.B.
As, yeah,
son of the boss.
Son of the boss. You were known as Harry's grandson or Harry's son. And my dad, I heard him say one time that the most proud that he kind of was when he quit being known as. I quit being known as Howard Fain's son, and he started being known as Doug Fain's dad. And, you know, you've reached that point. I mean, you know, you're Harry's grandson, Clay's son, but you've done well on your own, too. And I think Harry would be very proud to be able to say, yeah.
I went to a good school.
I'm his granddad. You know, he's not my grandson. I'm his granddad. And
it was a
and
good
you
school.
Did. And such, and I had the same thing. You got good raising. You got good learning. And we're thankful, of course, for that. Very fortunate
blessed.
That we had that. But the fact that you can continue it on, and of course, I know you don't do it on your own either. You've got a great group of people
oh, yeah.
that work for you and to support your company and take care of you and things like that. And without them,
oh yeah,
you know, there's one thing that I have often said as circuit clerk, that whenever my day is done, if nothing else is ever said about me, I hope the one thing that people can say is he knew how to hire the right people.
Yes.
And as an employer, I know you would appreciate that.
And that's a tricky thing to do.
It is tricky.
But
it's the
key. With the great staff that we have and you have, you know, when you build the right team, it's just.
That's all it takes.
It's so, it's so much more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy going
right.
to work every
right.
day and working with those individuals
right.
And,
right.
and building something that we all can benefit from.
Yeah. Well, Mark, our time, believe
okay.
it or not, is up, but I just want to say how much I appreciate first knowing your granddad. He was a great guy, and I enjoyed knowing him, but also to not only him and your dad and you, but the whole company and the whole group of companies, whether it was Sergeant Greenleaf, whether it's Lockmasters, LockNet, all of these other companies and what they have meant to our community. Folks, I just don't think we take time enough to realize when you look at the industrial, especially the industrial part of our community, which most people don't think about. They don't see it unless they work there.
Right.
Because we have products from different organizations here, folks, that are going quite literally all over the world in all kinds of different venues, whether it's locks, whether it's paper products. There's all kinds of things that are being made and done right here in our county that are going all over the world. And it's supporting our people and our community and our economy. So thank you so much for being a part of it. Appreciate you being here, and I hope that you're all here for a long time.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and, you know, I love calling Nicholasville home.
So great.
Thank you.
My thanks to Mark for coming in today and telling us all about his grandfather, Harry Miller, and what his contribution to our county was. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning also for All Things Jessamyn. We'll do it again next week. And I invite you to tune me in on my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamyn County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamyn County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.